We've been on a Spanish wine kick, Carmilla.
Yes, we have.
But up to this point, we have been focusing on Spanish reds.
True. Are you going to bring on the whites?
Yeah, let's dig into some Spanish white wines that we should all know about. Woo! Hello, and welcome to the Wine Pair Podcast. I'm Joe, your sommelier of a reasonably priced wine, and this is my wife and my wine pairing partner in crime, Carmella.
Hi there.
And we are the Wine Pair.
You kind of hesitated there.
I know, I don't know why. Okay, a quick orientation for those of you who may be new to the podcast. In each episode, we learn about taste and give our honest review of three wines that are reasonably priced, which means under $20 each, and should be easy for you to find. And our podcast is made for people who want to learn more about wine and find new wines to enjoy, and just want someone to talk about wine in a fun way that regular people can understand.
That's right.
Yeah, so if that sounds like you, you are in the right place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was thinking too, real quick.
Oh, gosh.
When you were stumbling on mm-hmm. Wine Pair Podcast, I mm-hmm. felt like that's one of those things, like if somebody would say to you, try and say that five times fast, like when you're a little kid and you're wine pair podcast, and you could not get past the second one.
Yeah, you can do it. I don't know. But I'm going to finish this off by saying we are proud to say that we are recommended by the editors of Decanter Magazine, who call us fun, irreverent,
chatty.
Oh my God, I cut you off. And entertaining. You got me off.
You have the script.
But you got me all off, and I don't know what
I'm
doing.
Don't you have the chatty is Carmella's
No, I
line?
Should. I don't usually don't need to, but you threw me off.
I'm
okay.
Sorry.
I did want to say something else, Carmella, and I know I pay way too much attention to data and all that crap, but I was proud to find that our podcast was ranked in the top 100 of food podcasts on Apple Podcasts last week.
Out of 100.
We were more than 100, and that was in the U.S., and not just wine podcasts. All food podcasts.
That's
amazing. Pretty cool. So we want to thank all of you out there in listening land for your support in making that happen. And our ranking does tend to bounce around a little bit, but we're just super happy that you've been listening to us and helping us spread the word.
Woo!
All right. Thank you. Yes. Carmella, it's time to do another one of our favorite episodes. And this is, of course, our What the F Is This Wine episodes, right? And in those episodes, what do?
We find something that we want to learn more about.
Oh my gosh, you are so good.
Is that right?
It's like we've been doing this for like 2.5 years.
I actually wasn't even quite sure if that was the right answer. Or the answer you were looking for.
You did perfect.
Yes.
And this week we are learning about a wine that we hope we run into in our upcoming trip to Spain. At least I think we hope we run into it. And as we've been talking about for the last few weeks, we've been doing a series of episodes focused on wines from northern Spain. And we're just kind of keep going with we're like on a Spanish wine kick.
Love it.
Now, this wine is called Txakoli. It's spelled TXAKOLI, but Julian the wine guy said it's Txakoli.
Okay.
Interesting.
Okay. Really? That would really have stumped me.
I wouldn't have thought that.
Even you?
I would have thought it.
Really?
Maybe. I don't know. I thought it was Txakoli or something like that, but Txakoli.
Close.
Now, we're traveling to Barcelona, Carmella.
We are.
But while Txakoli, which is sometimes also known as Txakolina, is from northern Spain.
Little Txakoli.
I guess you're right.
Know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, I think you're right. It's not in the same region as Barcelona. So Barcelona is in Catalonia, which is on the northeast side of the country on the Mediterranean Sea, while Txakoli is on the other side of the country in the Basque region, which is on the Atlantic Ocean.
Okay.
So while both are in northern Spain, and I'm making hand gestures north.
You do. It's amazing
you
that you're on
them.
A podcast
you
when
can't
you're
see
so
them. I know. I
like,
should get a video
visual.
Podcast.
You just are constantly using. I mean, you're visual to look at.
I am very.
I mean, I don't know if you're a visual learner, but like you are always doing
something. I'm something to look at. I'm good looking. Okay. Anyway, while they're both in northern Spain, they're very different regions. I like how laughed when I said that.
I know.
He's good looking. Okay. So the Basque, what were you going to say?
I was just going to say, like, you're just so, like, northern, up, mm-hmm. as if somebody's going to get confused.
Maybe they are. I don't know. It's helpful. Visual cues.
Okay,
the Basque region, like Catalonia, is an autonomous area that's been trying to break away from Spain for many years. And in 1978, the Basque area was actually granted the status of a nationality within Spain.
Oh.
It's its own nationality. Well, it's always been, but they were officially recognized that way. So this is a region with its own unique culture and language and identity, and I'm not going to pretend to be an expert, but it is one of the things that I do love about these What the F*** series, and part of why I want to learn about this wine, because we get to learn more about the world and different cultures and all that sort of fun stuff. And I have a lot of articles and links in our show notes. Did you know we have show notes?
Wait, show notes?
If you go to our website and you go to this episode, you can dig down and find our show notes. But if you want to learn more, because I'm not going to...
Because you're a lifelong learner.
That's right. And I can't just tell you everything. Sometimes you have to...
Right. You got to be like part of the Look It Up
teach
club.
A person to fish and they'll fish for... They'll eat forever, right?
Right. That's exactly what I was thinking.
But here is a little information anyway. There's about 2 million people in the Basque region, and almost half of them live in or around the city of Bilbao. I think I said that right. I don't know if I said it. But there's other famous cities in the area like...
And it's spelled X.
No. There's other famous cities in the area like San Sebastian and Pamplona.
Nice.
Where they do the running of the bulls, right?
Cool.
And there's a broader Basque region, actually, that lies partially in France as well. But for our purposes, because we're focused on Spain, we're just going to think about Spain.
Okay.
Now, the weather and the climate and the terrain of the Terroir in this area is very broad. So there's cooler Atlantic Ocean-influenced areas, there's warm inland areas, and there's even mountainous areas, including parts of the Pyrenees Mountains. So that's kind of cool.
That's really cool.
And evidently, Carmela...
Sounds beautiful.
Well, here's even the better part. The Basque region is famous for great food and wine, and according to one source I read, they spend twice as much of their disposable income on food than people from the U.S.
Wow. Our kind of people.
That's what what I wrote down. Those are our kind of people. That's exactly... She doesn't have the script, but that's exactly what I wrote
down.
Well,
I know. When you know, you know.
When you know, you know. And this area has the second most Michelin star restaurants per capita in the world.
Oh my gosh.
So I think this is a incredible place that we would want to go.
And that we will be spending some money.
Yes. At some point we will go.
Food and wine.
Most definitely. Mm-hmm. Now it's most famous for Rioja wine, which is the red wine that we did an episode on last week. But again, this week we're doing the white wine called Chacolí. And I wish we had more time, Carmela, on our trip to spend in Spain, because we're really only going to have time to, you know, really just see a touch of the Catalonia area. But right. I think on the next trip to Spain, we're going to have to go to the Basque region.
Sounds perfect.
Yeah, I'd love to do that. Anyway, we have to get back to the wine, Chacolí, and we're going to be tasting and trying three Chacolí wines today. And we're going to learn more about exactly what these wines are. But first...
You got to do our shameless plug.
That's right. So we want to thank you for listening to us and supporting our show. And if you haven't had the chance to do so yet, now would be an awesome time to subscribe to the podcast. And that's a free way to support us. And another great way to support us is to leave us a nice rating and review on wherever you get your podcasts, or go to our website and do it. You can do it there. It's free. It's free. Mm-hmm. And then you can also see us. No, you can't see us. You can follow us and see pictures of the wines that we're tasting and trying today, and crazy AI pictures that I keep creating on Instagram at the Wine Pair Podcast. And you can contact us on our website, thewinepairpodcast.com, and you can sign up for our email newsletter there. And we'd love it if you just send us a note at joe@thewinepairpodcast.com, because we want to make content that you care about. So send us a note. Tell us what you like. Tell us some things you don't like. Maybe there's parts of the show you're like, guys, I wish you'd just chill out and not do this part of the show.
Or maybe you just want to tell us, you know, I don't like Brussels sprouts.
You could do...
I mean, tell us something you don't like.
Share with us.
It can be whatever, you know.
We are open to sharing.
Yeah. I mean, you just opened up that, you know, portal right there.
Go,
and you said,
get in
that
portal. Walk in. Just enter the portal. If we're nice, we'll respond.
Right.
Enter the portal.
Enter it.
The portal is joe@thewinepairpodcast.com.
It's not a big deal. It's not a matrix.
Small portal.
It's just a portal.
It's just a doorway.
Right.
Okay. So, and as we do every week, we'll tell you someone we think you should tell about the Wine Pair Podcast. And this week, we want you to tell anyone who likes dry, slightly fizzy wines like Vino Verde, because they may really dig Chacolí, and they may really dig Spain, and therefore they may really dig us.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. That's a super direct line.
Direct line to liking us. Okay, Carmela, let's learn a little bit more about Chacolí wine, which is, it's a wine I had never heard of before. A good friend of mine told me it was one of his favorite wines, so thanks for the tip, Roland.
Nice.
As I call them. Okay, so Chacolí, again, sometimes called Chacolina or Chacolí, like spelled C-H-A-C-O-L-I in Spain, it's a lightly sparkling dry white wine. And in fact, it's often called very dry,
ooh,
right? Mm-hmm. And it's low in alcohol. It usually tops out at about 12%, but it can be as low as 9%.
Ah.
And so I expect this to be one of those wines that's just made for like warm summer days and warm summer nights.
Sippers.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it is sometimes considered to be more of an appetizer wine, but I'm curious to see what we think.
Okay.
It's also a wine meant to be drunk young. Not to get drunk when you're young, but to drink
while you're young.
That's right. No,
here.
We don't. So you don't want to age this wine. You just want to pick it up off the shelf. I can almost talk. You just want to pick it up off the shelf and just crack it open. That's right.
Just no waiting around.
That's right. And as I was doing a little bit of research, evidently until recently, this wine was often a homemade wine. Like people would just make it at home.
Ah.
That's what homemade means. I don't know if you knew that.
Yes. Homemade wine that they make
at home.
Down the street.
Yeah. In fact, this wine did not become a recognized DO, which is the designation that Spain uses to legally recognize a wine or a wine area, until 1989.
Ah.
So it's pretty recent. Now, traditional Chacoli was fermented in large oak barrels, but today, most of it evidently is fermented in stainless steel, so it's a crisp, high-acid wine, which we really like.
We do.
And often these wines are left on the lees. Now, again, the lees is all the junk that's left over when you squeeze the grapes, like the skins and seeds and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's left on the lees for like months. So that adds some additional flavor, can add some creaminess to the body, to the mouth.
It's gonna be nice, I bet.
Yeah. And in fact, Carmela, sometimes the wine can be said to have an almost sherbet like quality to it.
Oh boy, we're not going
it's
back
sherbet,
to that. It's
sherbet, not sherbet.
That like ruined my whole sherbet. Life. When
ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't listened to that episode, we'll just bring you up to speed to today. The word sherbet that you've been, is
you've been
not
calling,
spelled.
Mis- you've been mispronouncing your whole life.
And misspelling it. It's
and the
sherbet.
Whole world has been lying to you.
It's sherbet.
It's sherbet.
Look it
but
up.
It's okay if
look
you call it,
it
sherbet.
It is okay.
It's fine.
Okay.
It's fine.
Yeah, it's true. Now, Carmela, I should also note that there are red and rosé Chacoli wines, but most of them are white.
Okay.
And like many European wines, the wine is named for the area in which it is grown and not for the grapes. There is no Chacoli grape.
I wish there was.
I kind of do too. They're actually, wait until you hear the actual name. It's weird. Okay, well, anyway, I think it's weird. I shouldn't yuck somebody else's yum.
True.
But it's just a weird word, I think. But there are actually three DOs where Chacoli wine is produced.
Chacoli is a pretty weird word too.
It is, but I like it because it's kind of funky.
Yeah.
But again, this fact that... the grape is not called Chacoli can be really confusing for, especially for like American wine drinkers, because we're used to just saying Cabernet or Chardonnay or Sauvignon Blanc, because we name the wines after the varietal, grape. Not the, yeah, exactly, the grape rather than the region.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not, it's more common in Europe to do it by the region. Now, the grapes used in Chacoli wines can vary a little bit depending on the specific area that they're made, but the most commonly found grape is called Hondarabi Zuri.
Oh, no.
There you go. And in the Basque language, Zuri means white. So there you go. And in French, the grape is known as Corbeau Blanc. Don't ask me why. It just is. And there may be other small amounts of other types of grapes added, including sometimes like Sauvignon Blanc or Riesling or some other grapes. But the majority is going to be Hondarabi Zuri. Hondarabi Zuri.
My goodness.
Now, one of the regions, there's three regions, three DOs. So one of the DOs where Chacoli wine is made is called Chacoli Gattaria, and it comes from a region called, I can't even believe I'm trying to pronounce this, Gipuzkoa, which is in the vicinity of the town of Gattaria. Okay? I don't know if I'm saying any
Gattaria,
of these right.
Gattaria. That sounds gross.
I know. I ate something wrong. Gattaria. Okay. Woo. Okay. This wine is usually just made from Hondarabi Zuri grapes, and it's usually a very pale yellow or green in color. And this was the first region to get the DO designation. And they make the most Chacoli wine. And all of our wines today are from this area.
Okay.
There's two other regions. One is called Chacoli Biscay. It's from the Biscay area of Spain. It received its designation in 1994. And they often blend the wine with another grape called Folle Blanche or Picopoule. There you go. I don't know what that means. Okay, and then the third region where the wine is made is called Chacoli Alava or Alava. I don't know exactly how to say it. And it was not recognized until 2001, so pretty new.
Mm-hmm.
And this wine is said to be a little bit more frothy, More like a soda pop, maybe.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And they, again, like all the rest, they use Hondurabi Zuri, but winemakers are allowed to add some other grapes like Folie Blanche again and some others that I can't pronounce. And wines from this area are said to be a bit higher in alcohol and a little less acidic. Oh. So that's interesting.
And that's the one. The only in that region are they saying it's kind of frothy?
I think so, but we're going to find out.
But they all like, have a little bit of sparkly.
It's a fizzy. It's yeah, it's okay, supposed to be like a fizzy. It's not a
You're right.
It's not a true sparkling wine like like you would think from a cava or a champagne or something like that. Now, one of the articles I read noted that the area where Chacolí comes from is one of the coolest wine regions in Spain. That's kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. So that will have an impact on the grapes because getting the grapes ripe enough in a climate like that can be tough. So winemakers really try to expose the grape to as much sun as possible. Mm. But the result of that is that it's a high acid wine and low in alcohol. And then the fizziness of the wine comes from the way that they ferment it, and it's done at lower temperatures. And then a lot of times they cover the vat or whatever is being fermented in, and that keeps some of the carbon dioxide in the wine as it ferments. Mm, so that's kind of interesting.
Really interesting.
Yeah. And then this is another really interesting thing.
Okay.
Interesting is not always a good thing to say, but in this case, it's interesting and it's good.
Okay.
I kept reading, I thought this was like a typo, but I kept reading that the wine is often poured from a height.
What?
So I think what people
they
do
get
is
on
they,
a ladder.
Yeah, like they honestly like they pour it like
as a trick.
I don't know, but I think it makes the fizziness come out more. So I would love to see them like
why don't they just shake it?
And you'd be so nervous, like, oh my god, they're gonna spill this wine. It's not even gonna make it into the glass.
That's how they pour it when they serve it.
That's what I'm telling you. That's I kept reading that and I was like, what do they mean they pour it from a high and I
can we see a video?
Go for it. Go for
we're
it.
We're gonna look it up.
You've got a very powerful computer in your pocket.
I don't.
It's not in your pocket.
How
I can
do you know
it
what's
right
in
there.
My pocket?
I don't. Okay. And the last thing I'll say is these wines are meant to be served cold. And when I say cold, I mean cold.
Wow.
I mean fridge.
On ice?
Fridge cold. I mean, you should ice it up, but don't put ice in it.
I know.
You could. You could. You could.
People
if you
do.
Want to.
People do. We know. We get it.
We do.
I'm not going to.
No judging.
Again, no yucking somebody's yum.
That's right. So on that note, that's enough background. I think we need to learn more about the wines that we chose for today.
Okay.
All right. So as usual, all the wines we have chosen for this episode are under $20.
Nice.
And all of them should be relatively...
How many euro are they?
Oh, gosh. About 20 euro.
Okay.
I think the exchange rate is pretty close right now. And all of them should be relatively easy to find because I bought them all on wine.com. Okay. And now I won't say that Chacolí is the easiest wine to find, but I think if you... Well, you can find them online. But if you found a wine shop that had a really good Spanish wine section or specialized in Spanish wines, you should be able to find Chacolí.
Okay.
So the first wine we're going to try is called Basalor Chacolí Hondurabi Zuri. So it's got all of the stuff in the name.
Sounds like a Star Wars character.
No. Okay, the wine is made from 100% Hondurabi Zuri, and it comes from the Gotera region, as I said. And this wine is made near the city of San Sebastian. And all the wines today that we're drinking are from the 2022 vintage, so they're young.
Mm, perfect.
Which is what it's supposed to be.
What they want. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Now, the Basalor wine is vegan. It's marked as a natural wine and is made via organic farming practices. So if you're into that, this would be a great wine for you. Okay. And they're hand harvested. They use traditional practices. And they've been making wines at Bodegas Basalor since the 1930s.
Nice.
And then these guys say that they leave the wine on the lees for 10 months. So that's a long time.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
Are they going to be a little cloudy?
You know, I don't think they are.
Okay.
I kind of think they may filter them. Although this one said it's vegan and natural, but so maybe not. This one could have some funk in it.
We'll see.
I think you're right. Yeah. Because I don't think we've ever had these wines before, by the way.
I've never heard of a Chacolí.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of chocolate.
Chocolate. That's right. A lot of chocolate.
Chacolí.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the next wine we're going to drink is called Ignacio Urruzola Chacolina, and it also comes from the Gotera region, as I said. It's a blend of 90% Hondurabi Zuri and 10% Petit Corvu. Hmm. And the wine is also made with sustainable farming practices, and the grapes are hand-harvested again.
Okay.
But there wasn't a ton else I could find out about this wine, so So we're going to go move to our last one. The last wine we're going to try is called Hrutsta Jakuli. And as all the wines, again, from the Gotari region, this wine actually got 90 ratings from our friends at Decanter and Wilfred Wong, who I like, who's the wine.com guy. And I have a tech sheet for this wine, which we have a link to in our show notes. And I always like to find a good tech sheet because usually you can find out some real information. So this wine is the highest in alcohol of all of our wines. It's at 12%, which is not, nobody would say, oh, that's high alcohol. But for these wines, that is a high alcohol for these wines. And it's made for 100% Hondarabi Zuri again. The grapes are harvested, they said, in small crates.
Wow.
I don't know why they
large, small, what's the big difference?
I don't know, but they called it out. Okay. So it's got to be
crates. It's maybe like small batches, you know, like you make small batch bakery items.
I agree. I mean, don't there's got to be some reason why they made
small batch.
There has to be a reason why they called it out.
No, you said small crates.
Small crates.
Small crates.
You immediately went into small batches, but that's fine. It's fine.
Right. I don't know.
Then it said the grapes are destemmed, crushed, rinsed, and soft pressed. So they crush them and then they soft press. I don't know.
Say that again.
They're destemmed, crushed, rinsed, and soft
pressed.
They're
rinsed after they're crushed. I think I would rinse them first.
Because you know, you get the funk and the crush.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. And they call out the technique of low temperature fermentation, which helps to maintain the carbonation. And this is a wine that is filtered. So this one is filtered.
Okay.
This is why I like the tech sheets, because they tell you stuff you don't need to know. But they mentioned that they harvested the grapes for this 2022 vintage a little earlier than usual because the summer was dry and hot. But they got some rain in August, which helped the rains helped the grapes ripen. And they had lower acidity than normal.
Okay. I don't know.
It's kind of interesting.
And that's the 2022.
That's a 2022. But you know what, Carmela? That's enough book learning.
You know what? I agree.
Now we need to do some drink learning.
Let's do it. It's like learn by doing.
Learn by doing. You can learn by reading, but that's no fun. Right. You got to learn by doing.
Right. Shout out to Cal Poly.
That's right. So we're going to take a little break and we're going to learn by doing.
Perfect.
Okay, we are back and we are ready to try our first wine. I will say, first of all of these wines come in almost what look like these Riesling or Alsace bottles. They're tall, long, thin bottles.
They're
really pretty.
Very thin.
Yeah, very pretty. So this is the Basilor Chocoli Hondarabi Zuri. It's from Basque region of Spain. 2022 is the year. It was $15.99 at wine.com. It's 11.5% alcohol and 100% Hondarabi Zuri. But Carmela, you also notice it's very light colored. But what are you smelling?
Oh, it's very fresh, and I'm getting some apple on it.
Apple, for sure.
Some citrus, probably, too.
A little pear. Apple or pear, and almost a little peach. Maybe a little peach. Yeah, it's citrusy, too. Yeah, you're right.
I think there's a little bit of floral on it, too. Something a little flowery.
It's so nice smelling. Very apple-y, though. Very apple.
Apple's the first thing.
Apple juice, kind
of. But kind of a light, like it would be a watered-down apple juice. Not like super-duper sweet.
I'm smelling a little sweetness on it.
I mean, I'm smelling sweetness, but it's not like an overpowering. Like, I wouldn't say like it's an apple cider or like a Martinelli's.
No. But again, it's got, you can see bubbles in it, but but it's not bubbly like a champagne. It's like they're just kind of floating around.
When there's just some like collecting at the bottom, I mean, it's a little bit of a party look to it.
Oh, dude.
You know?
Speaking of party, let's just drink this thing.
Okay.
It's very apple-y.
It's so apple-y and it's so easy drinking.
Oh, you can just chuck this chocolate down.
It is like chocolate.
I find it a little bit on the sweet side.
It is a touch sweet. Like, I wonder if after a glass you'd be done. Like, maybe. Not that you need more than a glass, people. But I'm just kind of thinking, am I tired of it because of the sweetness? But
maybe.
Like it.
I mean, I'd keep drinking it. It is only 11.5% alcohol, so sometimes those wines can seem a little sweeter.
But it's really tasty. It is easy drinking, and it's definitely a summer sipper.
Oh, my God.
By the beach in Barcelona.
To me, it is, like, really good, like, I know we're not, well, we'll go there. Good, like, cheese, like, charcuterie mm-hmm. cheese board. Mm-hmm. Like you're out with friends on a hot day and the cheese starts to go bad. No, but the cheese, like you're having a little picnic.
Start getting a stomach ache.
Yeah. Oh, how long is that brie been out? No, but like, you know, a little brie and crackers and this and a little jam on it, like that ginger jam that Joey and Kira gave us. Oh, Madonna.
That was, wait, that you're getting everything mixed up. That's Italian.
I know, but I think they
say. And brie's from France.
But what do they say in Spain? I think it's Madonna.
Maybe.
Anyway.
I don't know.
What would you have with it?
I like that whole lineup, but I don't want the cheese to go bad. but I could see like a focaccia bread.
Ooh. That would be good.
That'd be really good. You know what? You could do it. This would be really nice with a flaky fish.
You think
fresh
so?
Fresh fish. I absolutely think so. I really think it would be nice because mm-hmm. it's a light wine. So you want something like a white fish, mm-hmm. something like a halibut would be so good.
I think it'd be really good with spicy foods.
Oh, for sure.
I don't hate to say it. I love spicy foods. I think it'd be really good with spicy foods. Mm-hmm. Thai food, Chinese food. Oh, Taiwan on, man. I might Taiwan on tonight.
No, it's tasty, honey.
Anything else about the smell, the taste, or food that you want to talk about?
No, I think we covered it. It's just a very versatile wine.
Hell yeah. All right. So let's rate this sucker.
Okay. I love it.
As a reminder on our rating scale, we rate on a scale of 1 to 10, where 7 and above means that we would buy it. And a 4 below means we're likely to pour it down the sink, or a 5 or a 6 means we're going to drink it and we'll finish it, but we probably won't buy it. So I kind of feel like I know where you're going to aim on this wine.
Okay.
But let me start.
Okay.
I think I'm going to give it a 7.
Okay.
Definitely would buy it. I like it. I found this one not as fizzy as I expected it to be.
Okay.
Like I don't feel a lot of, it's got, you know, it does have that kind of creaminess in the mouth.
Yeah.
It's so I can tell where maybe they did keep it on a lees and it has some like body to it. Mm. So it's not like a Pinot Grigio, which is sometimes just kind of a flyaway wine. Mm-hmm. And we love Pinot Grigio. This has a little bit more going, like that unctuousness you can almost get from it. But I was hoping for just a little bit more spritz.
To kind of set it apart.
Yeah.
Okay.
But what would you rate it?
So I mean,
by the way, a 7 is a very good rating.
It's a great rating. Mm-hmm. I mean, the thing is that I love this wine. Like this is like a perfect.
This is your wine.
Yes. It's a perfectly balanced wine for me. It's not anything like mind blowing. Like I'm like, oh, wow. But I'm definitely giving it a solid 8.
I knew you would.
Yeah.
I mean, kind of knew you were going to at least give it an 8.
Unfortunately, like I said, this is one of those dangerous, mm-hmm. easy drinking wines mm-hmm. That you could just, yeah, you know, so that's why it's probably nice. It's a low alcohol.
Yes, exactly. You know? Which is what makes it a good, perfect
choice.
Like summer mm-hmm. sipper. Like it's an early afternoon and you're just having a few appetizers.
Day
like,
drinking.
Ooh, you can drink it. You don't have to feel bad about
it. On vacation.
Put an ice cube in it. Go for it.
I don't have this one. No.
You don't need it, actually.
No.
But if you want to keep it cold, you know, maybe you would.
Maybe.
All right. On that note, we are going to take a little break and we're going to try our next wine.
Okay.
Okay, we are back and we are ready to try our next wine. This is the Inacio Urruzola Jacquelina. This is from the Basque area of Spain. It's a 2022, $16.99 at wine.com. Only 10.5% alcohol, so it's low.
Okay.
And it's 90% Hondurabi Zuri and 10% Petit Corvo. And one thing I did this time, because I was like, I want to try it out. I poured it from a height.
He did. He went into the bathroom so he wouldn't make a mess.
Whoa. That sounds, it wasn't like it sounds. I just was doing it over the sink. But
try
just
not
pouring
to make a
wine.
Mess.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, so many things there about boys making messes in the bathroom. But anyway, so it did froth up for sure, more than when you just poured it from a normal height.
Yes.
What are you smelling?
Okay, so I'm getting like a little bit more perfume on this.
Yeah, this one has
apple,
a different
but not,
smell.
Yeah, but not, you know, it's just, there's something else.
Melanie or yeah, melon or more peach, more like peach or like stone fruit on this one, I feel like.
Oh, you know what else? It kind of is almost like soap.
Oh, soapy.
Soapy, yeah.
Okay.
You know, and that could be the perfume, you know, part of it too, but it's a, yeah. Not getting as much, what?
Well, I'm almost wondering, like, is it kind of truffly?
Maybe a little mushroomy?
Truffle, but
yeah,
like
know.
Truffle specifically.
Maybe.
Because I often think truffle kind of soapy.
Oh, okay. Perhaps cilantro. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit of soapy smell. Yeah, I don't know.
I think it's got a little bit of, it does have a little creamy smell. Like, I don't know, like a vanilla-y.
A little bit of vanilla, sure.
You know, sometimes these are oaked, so...
Yeah, that could be a little of what I'm getting on it.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit, I don't know, it's different from the other one. Not as, like, fresh and...
It's not.
Like when you're cutting open an apple and it's a fresh, crunchy apple.
Yeah.
Not getting quite as much of that on this one.
This one seems a little more sugary. Well, let's try it. Really tart.
Very tart.
Very
but like, not tart apple.
No, like lemony.
Yeah.
Very lemon.
I think so too.
It's
or grapefruit almost.
Oh, grapefruit's good.
Mm-hmm.
It's really tart. Like super citrusy. Super citrusy.
Yeah.
But like lemon. I'm going back to lemon. Like you squeeze a lemon in your mouth.
Yeah, for sure. No, it's definitely lemon.
Like the lemon out of those lemon, plastic lemon.
Ah.
It's lemonade, you know, like a really, really tart lemonade. That's what it tastes like to me, like a lightly sugared, very tart lemonade.
Yeah. I'm really not getting a lot of apple on it.
I'm not either.
It tastes like pure lemon juice. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Like you're thinking it's going to be a little bit sweet, but it's not.
I would say it's got a faint bit of apple on the front. A little bit of apple on the front, but it goes all lemon. Like lemon tea.
Yeah.
It's almost like a lemon, like it almost has this like creaminess to it as well.
And you definitely can't taste, like I know they're low alcohol and you're not getting a lot of that hotness that you
not
get.
Oh, not at all.
But you know, I mean, which kind of make, it does change the experience a little bit too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I agree. It is not as, these wines, they're not as fizzy as I thought they would be, like in the mouth.
No, they're more. The first one was more so than this one.
A little bit, but they're more creamy in the mouth, mm-hmm. I find, than fizzy in the mouth.
Hmm.
What food would you have with this?
Well, you know, I'm still going to go back to fish, just like flaky fish, even like actually like fish and chips too.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, fried food would be really good with this. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I think it's a very good fried food.
What about
food
like
wines?
A fried mozzarella stick?
Yeah. A fried chicken sandwich. Like,
ooh.
It'd be really good.
Yes. You
fried
could do,
calamari. Like, I think fried food would be really good.
Fried calamari would be really good with this. Yeah.
It does seem to me more of a fish wine, like pretty much a fish wine. I could have this with like, maybe with like a spaghetti and clams, like vongole. Like
that
I could see
really
some of that.
That would be really nice, yeah.
Or like a seafood pasta or like a shrimp pasta maybe you could
right,
have it
right.
with.
Yeah, I wonder how a cream sauce would be. I'm not sure I'd do cream.
I wouldn't. Too lemony.
I think you'd want it to be more of an olive oil based sauce.
Yeah, I think you'd want like, yeah, exactly. What is that? Like shrimp scampi or whatever.
Yeah, it would be really nice.
It's like buttery. Like a buttery sauce would be good.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, or sage. Butter is like a sage.
But not creamy. Yeah.
No.
Not milk.
Mm-mm.
Any other foods?
Again, like I do think this is another one of those sippers that you could have in like warm weather. They said something about an appetizer wine,
yeah,
right?
This
I can
is an
see
appetizer
that,
wine.
Yeah, with like mm-hmm. cheese, a cheese board again,
mm-hmm.
Cheese and crackers and, you know, munchy food. I mean, I could see even like potato chips with this, too.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. Good. Yeah. French fries, that kind
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what rating would you give this wine?
I'm going to give it a 7.
Okay.
I would buy it.
I like it. I don't like it as much as the last one, but I'm still going to give it a 7. So maybe I'm just like, the last one was like a better 7 than this one. I don't know, because we don't do half numbers. Because I would buy it. I like it. It's refreshing. It's nice tasting. I enjoy it. Of the two, I liked the Bacalar better.
Me too.
But it's a good wine. Like it's a fun, this is a fun wine.
I wouldn't pass it up. Like if I went somewhere looking for this wine and they didn't have the other one, I would have no problem buying this one.
No, I agree. I will tell you, the Chardonnay lover in your life, no way. They wouldn't like this wine.
Oh my God, they would think it's way too lemony. Yeah,
totally
too
agree.
Acidic, too, yeah. I don't think they would be down for this.
I don't think so either.
So okay. Maybe not much of a crowd pleaser, but.
I think it's a certain type of crowd pleaser.
Okay, maybe.
It's
like,
not the Chardonnay crowd pleaser.
No.
No, I don't think so. All right, we're going to take a break and we're going to try our last wine.
Okay.
All right, we're back and we're ready to try our last wine. This is the Jaruza Jacquely, also from the Basque region of Spain. 2022 is the year, $17.99. So this one was expensive.
Mm-hmm.
We got it at wine.com, 12% alcohol, 100% Hanarabi Zuri, as far as we know. And Wilfred Wong and Decanter gave this one a 90. But Carmela, what are you smelling and noticing about this wine? I noticed something, but...
What did you notice? It's not very fizzy.
It's not as fizzy at all. And I even tried to pour this one from a little bit of a height, not as much.
Yeah.
It really didn't froth or fizz up at all.
No.
What are you smelling?
Okay, so this one is a little more, you were talking about the apple smell, and I would agree, it smells a little more similar to the first one that we had, I think.
This one to me has got like apple and I can smell some citrus, but also kind of smelling an ice creamy kind of smell.
Like sherbet?
Like sherbet. No, but really like creaminess. I can almost smell creaminess.
Yeah, there is a little more creamy. It smells almost a little thicker.
It does. Like it sounds weird, but it does.
I'm almost getting a little bit of that vanilla on this one too.
Like a vanilla ice cream though.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I am getting a little vanilla ice cream on it.
A little bit of peach again. A little bit of that peach smell again.
Hmm.
Some flowers.
Little, and a little melon even, too. Like a honeydew.
Uh-huh. I get that. I do. I get that.
Because honeydews are kind of, you know, creamy.
I would say a little cantaloupe as well.
Okay.
Okay. Well, let's try it.
Okay.
This one tastes the fizziest. It's something. There's something like...
Again, it's very tart.
It's very tart. Maybe that was it. I felt like I got a sting. You know, like a little
You got shocked.
A little bit. Mm. Yeah, like that. Like a little shocked. Mm-hmm. It's more lemony tasting than I thought it was going to be.
It's really lemony. Like, in fact, the creaminess does not come through on the taste on this one, really.
Okay, I'm getting creamy, actually.
Really?
And I had this...
I'm not.
You know what I had an image of in my mind?
What?
Do you remember those Cream Savers candies?
No.
Okay, so they were like a creamy... Lifesavers candy.
Okay.
They were called Cream Savers. And I think they were like red and
white
and they had they taste creamy like that to me.
Okay.
Like a cream saver.
Hmm.
I'm getting a little bit of that vanilla cream saver kind of flavor on it.
But with a little bit of fruit?
Definitely lemon. But I got
lemon,
this.
Yeah.
But you know, sometimes they kind of have that creamy, almost waxy creaminess to them.
Hmm.
It's totally what I'm tasting.
Okay.
Like think about this like a butterscotch candy, like a butterscotch lifesaver. Do you get a little bit of that kind of aftertaste on it?
I mean, a little. For some reason, I'm just getting, this is just really knocking me out with its tartness. Just tastes very tart to me. I'm not getting a whole lot of those, you know, complex flavors that you're getting with this cream. And
creamy. It's super creamy to me.
Oh, interesting.
And I'm getting creamy candy on it.
My
cream
goodness.
Saver. It's like, if you guys remember Cream Saver, it's totally what I'm getting. And I know there were like, most of them were strawberry, but I think they had orange and citrusy ones. I'm telling you, that's what it tastes like to me.
It's so funny. I'm definitely getting more of that grapefruit and citrus.
I'm getting that candy aftertaste in my mouth.
Okay, that's
it's
good.
It's really interesting.
Yeah, maybe I'm sick.
Sick in a lot of ways. What food would you have with this cream saver?
Ooh, you know what? I think you could do like a white pizza with this. Something about like that tartness wants me to have something bready or carby with these wines.
This one is just different. It's hitting me different.
The other two?
Yeah, the creaminess is throwing me.
What would you have? I just feel like carbs.
I feel like this is a great like cheese and nuts and... Like a real, I don't know.
Olives?
Like a real charcuterie board kind
salty,
of wine.
Some salty
totally
stuff.
Totally, like chips, salt, like potato chips.
That's why, like a focaccia with like sea salt on it. I don't know.
Yes.
Like olive oil.
Yeah. Yep.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah. I'm totally getting that.
And you know, these wines, they really, across the board, would be great with spicy food.
Totally.
It's going to just cut that spice.
Totally.
And really complement it.
This one would be really good, I think, with spicy foods.
Mm-hmm.
I think you nailed that one.
Yeah. They really have that, you know, a good partnership with spice.
Yeah, I think so, too. This is really hard. What would you rate this one? This one's really hard for me.
I'm not really finding it so different from the last one in taste.
Wow.
I don't know why. I think
it's got that that sharpness of citrus, but the mouth feel to me is so different.
Okay. So I think I would probably give it a 7 because I'm finding it very similar and absolutely would drink it. I'd buy it. They're all solid wines.
Super solid. I'm kind of tempted. I'm going to give this one an 8.
Okay.
I don't know that I can say that I like it all that much more than the first one. And all of them are super solid. So let's just say Chocolate Winner, like winner, right. Chicken Dinner.
It's definitely
like them all. We would buy them all.
Right. And also, I do feel like it is it's for a specific kind of wine drinker in some ways.
Totally.
Like, you know, like you're-
And
like
it's
you said,
a summer wine.
Yes. And it's definitely, it's not like going to blow you away, but it's going to be consistent. Like you're going to feel like, ooh.
Even
you're
the
not
going to
go
one,
wrong with this wine.
Yeah, and even the last one when we read the bottle the writing on the bottle was summer wine and perfect with seafood and spicy foods.
Yeah, yeah, afterwards.
The middle one. Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so which of these are you finishing tonight?
You know, I'm going to go back to number one.
I knew it, the Basalor. Yeah. I'm going to go with this one.
Okay.
The Harutsa Chocolate.
Look at
but
us.
Again, I'd be happy with any of them. I'd drink any of them all day, any day. Okay, so let's talk about the taste profiles expected from a Chocolate.
Okay.
In general, the wine paradigm says aromas of citrus and white fruits, we got those, together with herbal notes, followed by flavors of lemon, lime, apple, pear, and sometimes pineapple, which combine with a mineral or saline edge, leading to a pleasantly zesty finish. You know what I'm getting now? I'm thinking those pineapple candies.
Ooh.
That's what I'm not with this last one.
Because those are a little creamy.
Totally.
Pineapple is something I didn't come up with it, but I can taste it. Yeah.
Yep. On the Basalor, the winery says fresh, light, and very fruity, reminiscent of typical Jacolis for the character of white fruits, green apple, and pear. We got all those. Depanneur wine says bright, zesty, just a hint of fizz, lemon zest, white floral, salinity, refreshing, and clean. So we have definitely got more pear and peach and apple.
Oh, I said flower at one point,
you did.
Too. Yeah,
you did.
It was a little hint of that for me.
All right. The Inazio, the winery says bright and clear, pale yellow with green reflex, with intense aromas of citrus and white flowers, ripe tropical fruit. Round and mineral mouth, crispy balanced acidity, low alcohol. I mean, this one was just lemon. Mm. Wine Access says bright and refreshing with a luminous brightness in the glass.
Definitely aromas, bright.
Yep. Aromas are led by aroma of citrus, zest, and sour peach. That's interesting.
Ah.
Along with a hint of herb and spice.
Sour peach.
The mouthfeel is electric with salty notes, lime and lemon peel, and white flowers with an undeniable limestone-rich texture and long-lasting finish. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They got a lot more complexity in this wine than we did.
On the second guy.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Now, the Harutsa. The winery says a clean and sparkling light yellow in color with greenish tones, intense aromas of white, pear and apple, citrus, grapefruit, they say, tropical, pineapple, and passion fruit aromas, also swathed in white flower, orange blossom scents.
Hmm.
Very balanced, spicy sparkle on the tongue. Definitely got that.
Yeah.
Wilfred Wong, the wine excels with aromas and flavors of dried earth notes, chalkiness, and hints of stone fruits. That was a little weird. Decanter said a riper melon and peachy style. I agree with that.
Yeah.
With a lemon peel nose and a delicate spritz on the palate.
Nice.
Fresh and zesty.
Okay.
So I think we did okay.
I think we did.
Yeah.
For sure.
Again, Chocolate, Chocolina.
We're in.
I hope we find it when we go to Spain.
Yeah, me too.
Be super excited if we saw that on the menu. Totally. In a tapas bar. Not a topless bar.
No.
A tapas bar.
Guys, T-A-P-A-S. Get your head out of the gutter.
Jeez, come on, while you're pouring from a height in the bathroom.
Right.
Okay.
Is it head out of your gutter?
Yeah. Head out of your gutter.
Is it mind?
Mind out of the gutter.
Not head.
No, I don't know. It doesn't matter. All right, Carmela, it's time for us to go. But before we do, we want to thank you very much for listening to us. And if you haven't done so yet, now would be the perfect time to subscribe. Don't turn us off yet. Subscribe.
Right.
And then leave us a nice rating and review. Don't turn us off. Leave a nice rating and review. We thank you very much for doing that. And that's a great way to support us. We'd love to hear from you. Tell us about a wine you want us to try, or a wine you don't want us to try, or an episode that you like, or episodes you don't like, or whatever. Just talk to us. We need to talk to you. You can email us at joe@thewinepairpodcast.com. You can leave a message for us on our website, thewinepairpodcast.com, and you can follow us on Instagram. And with that, we're going to sign off. And so we want to thank you very much again for making us happy. Don't know what that means. Wow. And we'll see you next time.
It's a lot of pressure.
I know.
A lot of pressure.
I know. You don't have to make me happy. I have to make you happy.
If we're not in the top 100,
it's going to be a bad day.
Yeah.
It's going to be a bad day.
Please,
come on. Keep listening. Tell your friends. Let's go.
Help me.
As we like to say, life is short. So stop drinking shitty wine. Adios.
Adios. And the happy ending.